Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on bbsradio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken, producing passion style.
Hello, I'm on the air. This is Kathy Cook, the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. Oh, let's just take a deep breath and breathe in and out a moment. Everyone has had such a hectic week, and actually, it is as hectic as we want it to be. What have you learned this week? What sticks out most in your mind? What did you see specifically this week? One particular thing. One thing, just one. What comes, you got to grab it like that. It's just like, let me just start the show off with a little prayer, and then I'm going to tell you a little story. Heavenly Father, we just come together, all the active listeners and all the people that you are placing the message out there to. I ask you to speak for me, have me listen, as well as all things within me. I ask you to replenish my body, my spirit, mind, and soul. I ask you as well to lift up the vibrations of this earth, to lift up the purity of each person's mind that is connected to their heart center, which is the heart center, which is where our soul lays. And where we should live. You created us out of one image, Lord, and that was the soul. Help people to understand that we're all brothers and sisters, and help them to understand that we are all from the Creator, and we are all your children, just as Jesus walked on this earth and was the Son of Man. If we hadn't had him, I just thank you for that, because if we hadn't had him, we wouldn't have the focus today to know exactly what it is that we want to be like. But I know I want to be as Christ-like as I possibly can. But, and God always contradicts the sense of fear, help me to not have to have all the shunning and all the horrible things that he had to display in his life. I ask you to keep me safe, place your holy angels in front, behind and surround me, below and above and within me, the seven men. And I ask you as well, O Creator, to let all relations, religions, come together, to join together in hands, and quit trying so hard to be the one that they think they need to focus on. It's all a group effort, and we all need to get together and be a group effort. So, Lord, I just know that people go, why is she out there giving this message so free, not making any money, giving her books and her writings out there? There has to be a reason. There has to be some kind of nick to it. But just let them know that I work for you. I work for you, Lord. And with that, you will always provide for me as well. With that given and said, I light my candle. I'm going to light a kill one. In Jesus Christ's holy and abundant name, amen. The fire of the Holy Spirit. What is the fire of the Holy Spirit? It's the breath. It's what we speak out. It's what we breathe in. The breath of the Holy Spirit is the fire. And I'm going to tell you what. I can light this candle and I'm staring in it right now. And I'm looking straight down into it, that as it melts the wax around it, it makes the ring. There's a little moth that has passed away inside the little candle, because the moth always looks for the light, and the moth and the butterfly always represent the Creator, because he's always searching for us and showing us the light. And these moths represent to me, the thing is if you look at the moth and the butterfly, they I do not even know what I'm going to speak or say until I am on the air, because it takes the flavor out of my concoction that He, the Lord, speaks to me. It's not a channeling. Channeling is one thing, like the fine-tuned radio, okay? We all have to get on that frequency. We all have to place our dial exactly where we want it to go. But so many people are so busy changing the channel all the time that they don't stay tuned in long enough to get the frequency that they need to be fed from. I like 1100 AM is really good. That's a good frequency for me. I like 11s. You know, a lot of people don't understand the 11s. Now, I was born on February 11th, 1956. It's all equaling into 11. My son Jason was born on February 11th, 1979. He was born on my birthday at 23. My daughter Ashley was born on January 11th, 1981. She's an 11. And my youngest son Matthew, God love him, he was to be born on Halloween. And I asked the doctors to help me to have him prior to Halloween, because I wanted Halloween to have its own little day. And so he was born on 10/29/82. Anyway, he's 29. 2 plus 9 equals 11. Now, oddly enough, my son Jason married Julie, which is 3/29, which is an 11. Ashley married Colin, October 11th, which is his birthday. So we are all 11. And my son Matthew has this beautiful woman in his life named Jackie, which we know she's hot for one because her birthday adds to an 11 as well. So there you have it. Connect the dots. Look at the message. You know, there's always a message out there in every little trivial thing, and you have to connect it to the dots like a puzzle. The hypersensitivity, by focusing in on yourself, into your center, through meditation, will explode outwardly into prayer, which is speaking to God, however prayerfully speaking to the active listeners today on this radio show. I am prayerfully asking, in humbleness, for you to gather your proper nutrients and your proper foods and your seeds to talk. I talk in parables a lot of times, I've noticed. I had someone send me a letter a long time ago on Kuan Yin. And Kuan Yin, it said at the beginning of the letter, I put it in my 360 blog because it was really neat. They said that I reminded them of Kuan Yin. And I said, wow, I don't even know who that is. And she teaches in parables, as well as a shapeshifter. Now, on the news trader, someone asked me about the shapeshifter, and I didn't quite know how to take that, because a shapeshifter, it could be sneaky and could be, you know, I just don't know about shapeshifters. I haven't really delved into that yet. They haven't, my angel guides, my Anoia, Daddy, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, Buddha, Gandhi, all of them, they come to me, and I hear quietly and reverently in my mind, in my center of my heart's mind, they will let me know what I need to know at the given time. Now, I know I've got a lot of things out there on the Internet, because Brightlight Pathfinders has now made itself its own search engine, and I have to look at what the shapeshifter is, because it's coming up now 3 times, so I have to look at that. It's, to me, I'm not going to study it. I have to get it from my gut, from my heart. Shape shifting. Okay. I see Tom Terrific, that little, Tom Terrific, he was foul. And he was a cartoon back in the day on WBT. And, he would bounce all around to different places, and he would become anything that he wanted to, that suited the purpose at that particular given time. Oh my gosh, Marcia, if you're listening, do you remember the dream that I had with Puff Puff? And I went to the Native American lady, Shanoia. It's when I first heard the name Shanoia. And she was making me some earrings. This is a dream, a vision. And the earrings weren't ready. So she gave me a piece of hide that was a piece of material. And if I rubbed it, it would kind of curl and then go down. And she said, remember, this is change medicine. You will know what to do with it later. This was before I'd studied with the Native American Seneca Reservation grandmothers or anything. And I told Marcia about that and her husband. And Summer, she's been on my show before with the show that was the pros and cons of marriage. When my daughter was getting married back in the last week, it was around the first week of March. It was March 7th, 2008, if you want to pull up that archive, that Summer George. And I was talking to her and her mother, and they thought it was the funniest thing that I would dream such a silly thing. Well, come to find out that in my dream, I could ride a bicycle if I needed a bicycle, or I could be in a boat, and I could learn to become that exact object if I wanted to. What does it feel like? I needed to, hello? God, that scared me. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Good evening, Kathy.
What's your name?
Kim.
Who am I speaking with?
Kim.
Hey, Kim.
Hey. I was calling to see if you could maybe give me some information about some legal stuff that I'm getting ready to get into.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Have you made the decision?
Well, it's been made for me. I'm optimistic. Yes.
Okay.
It's
well,
a criminal proceeding.
Criminal what?
It's a criminal proceeding against my ex.
Oh, okay.
Because he molested my son.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did you call a couple of weeks ago, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, what gathers with you? What do you feel towards it? Because to me, the person that calls in for the intuitional input, if we go into our own self, like if you go into your own self, Tim, and you just close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths for me, will you do that? I'll do it with
yeah.
you because I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go into you, though, because I feel that's invading boundaries. I'm just going to actively listen and share with you, okay? Kim, what exact word does come to your mind right now, a feeling, a descriptive attitude? Just don't think
horror.
About it. What?
Terror.
What is it? Horror?
Scream. Terror. Terror. Horror. Scream.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, green is the most soothing color into one's eyes. Okay. Green is the combination of the light green and the dark green. The medium green is the most soothing and pure. It's pure and simple as it lays. Just like the blades of grass or the money, and it represents a little envious and jealousy. So we have to balance that out to keep it evenly filled with grounding with the earth. So if you could take that light green out of there, that envious or aggravation that you have towards your ex, and the deep, dark, rich green, which is going below the earth's surface, and keep it on the surface with the green pure, you know, green that is like that of the grass, and just balance with your wall, then it's going to unfold exactly how you want it to. Because if we stay calm, cool, and collected right there in that pure green grass and walk like that, then what you present to you, to the people that are helping you with the stage, how you are composed and how you don't allow anything to affect you. And to speak, I'll take that into consideration. I hear what you're saying. Those type things, the words that are spoken out, is what will evolve back into you.
That was really beautiful.
Thank you. Because you're a really beautiful person. And it gets all agitated and twisted up sometimes, and we see the whole picture. And it takes a little piece of this and that to place it together to make the outcome. Because to me, we are in charge of our destiny. If I spoke to you what I thought or saw, then that would place that in your head. And then if I place that in your head, then that is the walk and talk you're going to become to make that an affirmation. So, you know,
gotcha.
You spoke your own, and you spoke pure and green and that peace. But there you have your answer.
Thank you so much, Kathy. That was beautiful. I think I did call, and you were having a prayer night, and you were saying continual prayers, and it was really beautiful.
Well, let's say a prayer right now. Oh, Lord, Creator, I just ask you to wrap your arms around him and her family and do what's right and justice for this situation that has come about. And let it be in your hands. But allow him to speak your word of your feelings, of what you want to happen, and let her know that she is always centered in the heart and always know that you are right there as her light that guides the way and your breath, that she will not have her child hurt and she will not be ridiculed anymore, but she needs justice and to put somebody in the proper place that has harmed someone is what to me. For the just cause, for we all need to help each other and we all need to reach out and let her be an instrument to show many others the strength and endurance that she can show through you. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much.
Great.
Amen, Jesse. It was beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. Call anytime. Email me.
I will let you know. I'll let you know how it turns out.
It's on my profile page, my email or my phone number, so I'd really love to keep up and know how this turns out.
Yeah, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Bye-bye. Everyone, can you just take a moment and center yourself? And you can see how she read her own self. She gave her own self intuition. Sometimes we need a bouncing board or a mirror, you know, to ask a question or whatever, but it all the truth lays within our own heart. And whatever we project out there is going to involve that. Now, I do want to tell you, we need to connect hands, we need to connect voices, we need to connect together more and more and more. We need to focus. What is focusing? Does anyone? Of course you do. Where's glasses? And if the glasses have smears all over them, does that not just aggravate the pee-wad out of you? I mean, really. It distorts things, right? Or a camera lens, you know? Someone wrote to me and said, your pictures have always been so beautiful, and you've always been so in focus with your photography, and your voice is always coming so clearly. But how come these particular images and this particular line of work that you're trying to prevail right now are so out of focus and the voice is so distorted? Well, when there is the beginning of all things, the beginning of learning to walk this path, what path you choose to the light, there's the beginning of the first camera and the first cell phone to add a camera. There's the beginning of this radio. And that is where everyone sat in a walking chair and listened. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because we have to start somewhere. We have to believe and we have to trust and have faith. Please, I'm going to take a sip of water. That was good stuff, but if we start somewhere, think about this. Let me give you an example. My mother was over here the other day. And I've had this book to show her for a long time. However, I just didn't know, you know, I didn't want to just whenever it happened. So I was showing her the talk radio Want You book by Francine Silverman. And I was explaining to her, you know, what a Library Book of Congress was and how Donald Newsom, the president of, and chairman of BBS Radio, was in the acknowledgement. And she was doing dishes, my dishes, because I had not done them. And I said, can you just stop a moment and just focus in on me? Because I don't ask you often to just sit and focus. And I had to go outside. She stopped what she was doing. She went outside, came in here to listen. And I took a breath, and I said, let me be right back. And I keep a watch that my Uncle Ron, he's a composer of violin music, and it was his first composition, but he's done many, many more pieces now. He gave me this huge stone, because I collect stones from all over. And I keep it in a rocking chair on the front porch, because it's my walk in the chair. And what does the walk represent to me there? It's carrying baggage. So I look at the rocking chair, I look at the stone, took the stone out, placed it in my lap, and I walked, because when you walk and walk and walk, you actually get nowhere. So worries like a rocking chair gets you nowhere. But when something or someone aggravates me, or something is just not right, evenly killed, I stop right then in my tracks and go and fix my inner self and center myself to see what it's about. What I learned from that is my mother was busy, and she was doing my dishes, but I had something important I wanted to share with my wife, and I wanted her undivided attention. I never, don't say never because that's not true, but I rarely ever ask anyone for anything because I've had a hard time doing that. Because I want to deserve it, and I want the person to be able to give it to me heartfelt, and because they want to give it to me. I give out freely, because it was never mine to begin with, my books and words and drawings and whatever, because it's a gift that God gave me. And because He gave me that gift, to use as a tool and an instrument to share out to all the people that I can touch, all the hearts that I can touch. And so, my mother, she sat down and listened. And when she listened, she didn't know quite how to comprehend. And I learned I need to get more in layman terms with people. I need to get more instead of bouncing and having things everywhere, which is my ADHD self, and I'm not going to use that as a crutch. But the thing is it's soft spoken better than loud in voices? What temperament and what am I prevailing? I have this friend, and he will always be my friend, though we don't talk anymore. His name is Michael. He used to go by Mike until I started calling him Michael, and now he goes by Mike. He is the greatest teacher of me to teach me so many different things. Oh, I wish you guys knew my friend Michael, because he's not only fun and jolly and carefree, but sensitive and all these things wrapped into one. And I don't know where Michael is today because we lost touch, but look at the people that are in your life is what I want you to do. I want you to see the message that they have prevailed and what they have honored you with and that you hold. Let it be pure and simple. Let it be the goodness. If someone has walked into your life that has harmed you in any way, look at the good in that person. Take the part that hurt me, I take, and I place it into the fire of Saint Germain to transmute it into the most positive, beautiful light that we possibly can do. Because with me, when I'm pushed negatively, I gain that much more power positive. Only because of transmuting the negativity into the fire, the ultraviolet fire of Saint Germain, and sending it out there with positive blessings. Because to me, everyone has good in them, even the worst of the situations of a person. And if we look at what needs justifying, it's one thing. But what is it that that person has taught us with another thing and apply it, the knowledge that applies to the wisdom that I try to walk each and every day. You know, there's so much, but really there's so, it's so simply little. Because I was reading something on the TNT News Trader again, which keeps replenishing itself, and so I don't know if the message is still there, but this guy was talking, oh, it was an atom. It was the atom video. Saying that one grain of sand has so many atoms inside of it. If you think about it, the billions and billions of things that are inside of one grain of sand, but yet we are all like a grain of sand on this earth. But it takes all of us to come together to make the island for us to walk on. Paradise Island. I think of like CBS Radio right now hosting this. It's like that island, putting out those signals for everyone to hear, building the bridge and the gap. As Francine Silverman's book, which is Talk Radio Won't Do, building the bridge and the gap, by bringing all the talk show hosts together into one combination of one book. Everybody touching everybody to show everybody where their category needs to be set and where they need to sit and talk on the radio to give out their message. Pick up Francine Silverman's book. I'm telling you what, you won't be able to put it down. It's not like any reference book I've ever seen. Everybody in there has their own personality that just shines out so brightly. And just bridging the gap, y'all. Francine Silverman is literally bridging the gap to communication through this book. It's not scratching anybody's back. It's not, it's just, the thing is that she came up with it. She worked hard for it. And I just want you to go to my profile page, like the Pathfinder. You can click on my face like this. And it's on the front page right now, or you can scroll down in the menu to 6 o'clock, station 1, like the Pathfinder's Catholic Cook. Just click there a second. Now there? There you will see Francine Silverman's book. And if you want to listen to the archive, I have placed it, which I don't often do. You can click on, for more information, click here. And it's bold, the big letters. I'm not on the page because I'm not near the computer. But you click on that, and there's a picture of me, and underneath it is Francine Silverman's book, entitled the blog, the Nitty Gritty. And it's the nitty gritty. What is the nitty gritty? It's the inside of a sand. You know how you get the grains of sand or the grittiness inside or under your fingernail or whatever? Well, let me get under your skin, because if I get under your skin, then that is because somebody's needing to look at something. What is it that they do that I'm showing them if I'm getting under their skin? Because I don't allow people to get under my skin. I try to stay very focused and centered because I feel like I'm involved. So if I say, you can't get under my skin because I'm involved, then that pulls me up and reminds me that I am not in this body. I can be outside of this body. But the skin on my body, if I allow that person to get under my skin, they're going to get inside my spirit. And if I let them get inside my spirit, then I'm going to have a committee in my head. If I have a committee in my head, then I'm going to be the judge. I'm going to be the juror. I'm going to be the DA. I've told you guys this before. You new listeners out there, don't convict yourself and put yourself in a dungeon, because that's what we do best. Our ego does that best, because we didn't pay attention to something. That inner child inside of us that learned the word no and don't comes out and says, look at me. Look at me. Just like when I told my mother, look at me. Listen to me. She's listening in her own way, which is being busy. What is it? Somebody's wanting to ask a question. Somebody? Okay. Ron, give us a call in. I feel you. I know that that's you, the youngest child of my mother. The numbers are on the front page. Give me a call. Let's talk. Because I feel your presence and I feel you now, and I know that just acknowledging you to let you know that I hear you and I feel you. Is that enough? Or the color yellow? I'm getting the color yellow, which is bright and happy and sunny. But what else does yellow do? It's subtle and smooth and calm. Right? I'm going to turn on the computer a minute. I'm going to put on my glasses. Because somebody is looking for something and zooming hard in. Okay, let me say the sacred colors. What are the sacred colors? Anybody know? I will say, Carol, that's great. Okay, E is the red. Okay. That is the success and triumph. The north is the blue, the people's defeat and trouble. Okay, you got that? East is red, north is blue, west is the black, and represents the death. And the south is white. It's for peace and happiness. Now, the thing is, this other color, which make up from those colors as well, but the red in the east, like the red man, let's take the red man. Living in the east is a spirit of power, triumph, and success. But if you turn on a black and dull, it's like that wicked witch of the west, what's going to happen? And what about the patient for the enemy? Patient for one's enemy. That influences the person that has turned black. What do we use? White? White represents all colors. Because if you light a white candle, it's for anything. Now, if you have red in your symbolic meaning, that's like a successful color. You got to be real careful with it because it's deep passion. And the passion, as much as you love something or someone, is the deeper the hatred. If something happens and you don't want it out, say you have an argument or a fight with your spouse, the passion of the love saying I do, or getting married to that person, or being with that person. When you have an argument, and your ego hit, that's as deep as the red can go to the most hatred, hurtful ways in me. So remember to balance with the pink, which is pure love. Purity of the love. Don't use red of any kind, except for to tell you a caution or a stop or whatever. And also remember, it's the blood of life. It's what keeps us flowing in our veins. It's what our blood color is. And the color black typically is always death. But, after this, the soul of your enemy, who you continuously beat down, will constantly wear the color black, continuously shadow you, and continuously come up as your shadow, like a big fog. In a big black fog, because the enemy trying to conquer and destroy an enemy is like trying to conquer and destroy the message that prevailed to begin with. So if you think about this, you tear down another man's soul and you nail him up and you put him up, what happens? You can't conquer that soul. Only God can, because God created the soul and the soul is man. Breaking the will without breaking the spirit is another thing. But think of the color blue. What does blue represent? If you're just blue, there's different colors. Let's just be real blue. You know, is that disappointment and unsatisfied and feel like you've been a failure? But, there it goes again. Not predicting what's it. It's full of love and calm, isn't it? Like a sky blue. And if you cover yourself in blue with prayer, then your blue path, entirely blue, will come up with following it to the north. That's where you go. And blue is healing. And north, facing north, is healing. Now with the white, that's a peace and harmony and happiness call. A lot of ceremonies are dressed in white. But you know what? Like Kim picked green. Well, green is white, that of the corn. And now I want to tell you something, Kim. Grandmother Twyla gave me, and every one of us that were at her 12-sided lodge, the first lesson I ever learned, she gave me when I got out of my car, out of the van, a grain, a little kernel of corn dried. She said, now you will never go hungry. She said, because this one kernel of dried corn will make fields and fields and fields of corn stalks. So I kept that in my medicine bag. And sometimes, if you think about it, the 7 years, like in the Bible of Joseph, you know, Joseph wore the rainbow. He wore the rainbow coat that his father and mother gave him, and his father gave him, and he was one of several children. But his brothers were so jealous because they thought that the father was saving him that they threw him into a pit, with a tiger's pit, and left him. And the boys went home, and the father said, where's Joseph? And they brought back his coat all ripped up. They ripped it all up. And he got eaten by the tiger. Well, Joseph was, you know, there for many days, and he started hearing somebody come, so he started hollering out so he could get out of the pit. And it was the Egyptians. And they took him and used him as a slave. And they continuously used him as a slave. But Joseph had vision. He could see and hear and feel God. And he started telling the king things that were going on. Well, before you know it, Joseph was inside of the big, the whole of Egypt. And he became in charge of changing the ways that the slaves were being worked. Building those pyramids. It was just amazing. All of a sudden, he had a vision that it was going to be 7 days of hard, treacherous labor upon this earth. And he told the king to gather up all the crops he could and to take the grain and place it into as much storage as he possibly could because they had to prepare what was about to come in 7 years. And sure enough, it hit. And the land went totally dry. And guess who came to visit him to buy some grain? His brother. They didn't bring Benjamin with him because he was the youngest brother. And his father did not want to let Benjamin out of his sight. That's what happened to Joseph. So the two older brothers came, and they came to Joseph, and Joseph recognized them right off, but the brothers did not recognize Joseph. They thought he was dead and gone. And here he was all, you know, dressed in his gorgeous attire, was dressed like a king. Well, he sold the brothers some grain, only enough that day, and he said, don't you have someone else in your family? I want to see your whole family. And the brother said, but that's my little brother, Benjamin, and he's with our father because our father lost one of our brothers And he won't let Benjamin out of his sight. He said, well, if he goes, he said, well, if you want the grain, enough to feed your family, and you want enough to live and to place back into your land, then you're going to have to bring Benjamin back. Then ask for the father here, for Benjamin. Those brothers didn't know what to think. They had no clue what to think. They went back all the way across the land with just enough to eat until they got back, and they brought back Benjamin. Well, Joseph decided that he was going to have a feast. And so he set the brothers down and had a beautiful, happy food. He had cups that were made of gold and silver, all kinds of stuff. Well, the brothers, Joseph knew how the brothers still were. He could feel the temperament in their spirit. So he left the room for a little bit, allowing the brothers to go on and take what they needed and thought that they were stealing. So Joseph blessed them and then opened up the sack to put the grain in. And right before they were leaving, he goes, oh, by the way, you have some of my items, like the gold cup, the box. And he goes, how did you know? It's because I'm your brother, and I know you best. I know you best. And he goes, you could, the father said, you couldn't do. Joseph is dead. He goes, and then the king came around and said, Joseph, who are these people? Do we need to put them in the dungeon trap? Do we need to punish them for stealing from you? No, these are my brothers, he said, and they have wrongly done, and they know it. And they deserve another chance. Well, Joseph and his brothers and his father, they took wives, and they went out, and they set out across the country to make their own place, which became Israel. You know what? The land of Israel. And so, they had lived happily ever after for a long, long time. And now Israel is asking to be free, and to live with the brothers. It's the root. It's July 7 years. Didn't this all start around 2002? 2001? How? Well, when the 9/11 hit, it's time to get out there and walk the path. Take your family with you. Take enough of what you need to survive. And build your land, build yourself, your monument, spiritually. Doesn't mean it's materially. Because listen, what is material? Doesn't it dissolve and rot and break and crack? And what's it going to get you? It's the food for thought, it's brotherly love, and it's getting the message out there. It's not about who has more than who. Or who gets focused more on who. Because everybody is loved individually by each parent, by each person, and each person has their own perspective out there. The hearsay of what another speaks of another person, look at the person they're speaking about, and look at that person, how they've been walking their talk. How has the person that has had the rumors wrap around them walk their talk? Me? An example. I don't pay attention to the rumor mill. I just focus in on what's good and healthy for me to feed upon. Because if other people's places and things have enough time on their hands to focus in on me and knock me down to the ground, then I must be doing something that they won't. Because power is the equivalency of war. If you allow someone to take your power, how can you allow that? No one can take another person's power. because we're powerless over the people, places, and things in our lives. Powerless. I can't cause anybody to do anything. I cannot make anybody do anything because I can only get me, myself, and I, and the I am in me, living in me, focusing out there to do for me. Because if I don't love me first and foremost, the Creator, and acknowledge that, how can I give it out to others? To maybe get them to do something for me. That's why I don't ask for anybody to do anything, except for if it's good for getting a message out there. Let's say, for an example, like not being able to get on my profile page and change it or something. I have to go on and ask Donald or Seth, the paper clip, which I dedicate this show to, because he is such an engineer, and he has helped so many people. He's the one behind there that gets this show going. And my sister Susan, it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Susan. I dedicate this show to you as well. I want to just say, what's behind the scenes of your life, and who are you focusing in on? What are you focusing in on, and what are you spending your energy on? And if it's needed to knock somebody down, kick them in the dirt, make up vicious lies about them, make up the crap, well, the truth always prevails. It always outshines the darkness, and it'll make the person look like a real purity fool. And who's made the person look like the fool but just them inside themselves? Because people do not want to focus in on, you know, a fool. They want to focus in on something that is feeding them. So, with that given, I believe it's time to say, up above is the yellow. It's always going to shine bright. Below us, at our feet, is the brown. But, Kim, the center is green. What do you know? You've centered yourself to the glorious green. I love you guys so much. I love being a part of your lives. I love you actively listening. And I love actively listening to you as well. I acknowledge each and every one of you that listen to these archives, that listen to what the Holy Spirit fills me up with, and I speak out for them. And look at all the corners of things. Make up your own mind about things. And if you haven't experienced it, and you haven't seen it and felt it, don't take on another person's attitude towards that person, place, or thing. Wear your own. Be an individual. And judge ye not, lest ye be judged. And remember, there's a log in your eye. A huge log. We have to first pluck the log out of our own eyes in order to pluck the little teeny splinter out of our brother's eye. That's in the Bible. Now, remember I've always asked you, where are you going to plant your seed? What kind of soil? Your seed. This message that has been brought to you by BBS Radio this Thursday evening on June the 4th, 2009. What is your seed? If you just haphazardly drop it on the side of the road, isn't it going to be all gravelly and probably take root, but it won't take root for long? Something's going to come over and run over it. If you're going to plant it in a briar patch, are the thorns and thistles going to take it up with all the negativity just spoken about that seed? Are you going to plant the seed for thought in the purest, richest, blessed soil, the brown soil, which represents what? The below. Into being the center of the greenest plant that you can place in the garden of your heart so that the above sunshine can shine down upon it. It's just enough breeze of the seven winds and just enough water from the teardrop drops from heaven, the happy and the sad too, which falter far beyond sound, in the sweetest melody and rhythm that you can find. Also, get in relationship with the things that and the little creatures, because they all have a message. The grasshopper has a message, especially to the butterfly. The power of the song. The power of the song. What song does the grasshopper sing and represent? And in time and space, a grasshopper can leap so far. It can astral travel. The medicine of a grasshopper's wisdom is necessary to overcome the obstacles, right? So today I'm giving you a grasshopper from BBS Radio in honor of the one that passed away today, the Kung Fu artist, Mr. Grasshopper, little grasshopper that used to sit. I didn't get to watch those shows. I never did because my mother thought that it had violence in it. But I looked him up on YouTube today. And I don't even remember his name. I just know him as Kung Fu. But he died on Tuesday, I believe, and they found his body today, Wednesday, with the press release today. But the grasshopper came to me on Monday, and it was like a vision. What is this grasshopper saying? So I sent it to a friend of mine with the Creator's Voice song from John DeBoer. We can like some place in the state, I'm telling you. And it was about food shortages, how the grasshopper, well, you know, it's going to go out there and it'll eat up a crop. And it surely will knock the other grasshopper out of the way to get itself some. But the grasshopper's normally peaceful. And the lotus that kills the crop in Egypt, in all the land which came to destroy the crop, the grasshopper is capable of stripping the forest from the blink of an eye of a farmer, even as much so as the dreaded locust. So what is the grasshopper telling us? It turns from green to almost black. But then what does it do? When it's that upset and depressed from needing food, it will lay in the sun and absorb all the energy and heat that it can comprehend to go and kill and control the population with stripping the land from the food. A grasshopper also remembers that the gifts of Mother Earth are here for everyone. And sometimes we forget, right, the sacred balance that's needed. What symbolic meaning is out there for you? It's your time. It's your time to shine. And it's your time to get your message out there and spend your energy wisely. But remember, yesterday the canceled check. It's already spent. Tomorrow's a promissory note. We don't know what tomorrow brings. But today is red cash. We've got the money in our hands, which is like a barter system, exchanging what I need for what you need. And use it wisely, because remember, yesterday the canceled check. And tomorrow, yes, today will become yesterday. And what we've already spent is already out there. Is that given? It is 5 before the hour. It's time for me to close. And I have had a wonderful visit with you guys. Thank you for allowing me to share. And may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my strength, and my redeemer. With that said, this show is dedicated to you, the Dragonfly. And I'm off the air. 10-4.